So, my dear, the day you have always dreamed of has arrived. The day you become Bride of Chaotica!
Hello, and welcome to the Brides of Chaotica, a chaotic Star Trek podcast. I'm Taylor, a bona fide Trekkie.
And I'm Elizabeth, and I just know that the Star Trek universe is way better than our current world.
Very true. Join us as I show Elizabeth episodes of Star Trek that I love and she has no context for as I try to slowly indoctrinate her into the world of moral dilemmas, anomalous readings, and being wrapped in a warm blanket of nostalgia. Elizabeth, are you ready?
I'm so ready.
Good. How are you doing?
Ugh, exhausted. Just, you know, life is tiring and then you die, you know?
That is so fair. So fair.
It's just, you know, and that's not to minimize all the wonderful things about life, but like, our world is exhausting. Capitalism is exhausting. Being alive is exhausting. Do you ever just pause everything and then just like go into a timeless void for like a couple days? You know, well, a couple days of the outside, you know, time. And then relax and then have nothing have changed and be able to come back and actually be refreshed.
I do. No, I totally get that. No, I totally get that.
Star Trek that exists like that. Can I just go into a timeless void?
I mean, you can get put in stasis.
That doesn't sound like the same thing.
I mean, you're kind of sleeping, but I don't know how relaxed you would get.
I don't know.
I don't know what stasis feels like.
You know, it's got to be better than normal sleeping, though, right? Like,
maybe
I would hope that you have some like solid REM sleep if you're in stasis.
Yeah, I don't know.
Is it like?
I don't know. Actually, no, they never really. What?
Does it have like preservative effects? Like cryogenic?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I think so.
That might not be good for the body.
Well, there's multiple episodes where people go into stasis, like, but it's been like a couple months. You know, actually, it does have preservative effects because there is an episode where they like rescue these people that are from like the year 2000 or something. So I'm not even kidding.
Was the year 2000 in the future at that point?
Yeah, or maybe it wasn't even the year 2000, but it was definitely...
It's a year that we've lived through.
What?
Is it a year that we've now lived through as people?
I can't even remember, honestly. Hold on. I need to look. Star Trek, the Next Generation.
Okay, but like sidebar, isn't that the weirdest thing when you are watching like an old nostalgic TV show? Or even like from your childhood even. And they talk about some future year like, oh, there's going to be flying cars in the year like 2020 or 2025. And I'm out here just like, bitch, there aren't. And we still live with, you know, crushing inequity and people who don't believe in science.
Well, that's like this year, actually. Freaking 2024 is supposed to be when the Bell Riots happen.
The Bell Riots?
Yeah. It's like...
What are the Bell Riots?
The Bell Riots are this thing in Star Trek, like, history and lore that essentially kind of ushers in or begins the process of having, like, social reform. Like, it's like a people riot in like, San Francisco, but then it, like... It's, like, kind of one of the catalysts to, like, it's not the neutral zone. This is not the episode I'm looking for. I'm so sorry.
Hey, I mean, if we can, we still got plenty of time in 2024. Let's get some Bell Riots going.
Right?
But then, we need to actually have them lead to social reform. Because we desperately need some in this country. And the world, frankly.
I agree. No, I agree. I'm so sorry. I'm like reading this thing because I'm trying to find the year
You're
that
fine.
This happened in. the three people in stasis that were rescued they went into stasis in the late 20th century, which is the late 1900s. So yeah, in 1988 is when that episode aired, so I suppose they thought in 12 years maybe there would be cryostasis.
Wow, what a thought. They were so wrong.
Hello, friends. It is Taylor from the editing room floor. So, as I was going through and editing this episode, we lost the entire fucking intro. And the reason why this is frustrating is because we recorded 20 minutes of an intro. Elizabeth guessed the characters to Strange New Worlds. Not well at all. She guessed all of the TNG people, and anytime she said a Strange New Worlds character, she fully doubted herself. Anyway, we did her unhinged prediction time with Elizabeth's mind, and she predicted that it was going to be ancient Greek themed, because of Elysian, because they're the fields of Elysia, or the Elysian fields, something like that in mythology that somehow she remembered, which was super duper impressive. However, we lost literally all of that audio. Well, we didn't lose it, but our voices kept stacking on each other in a weird way, and I don't know how to fix that. So instead, I'm giving you this little super janky, chaotic intro, and we are just going to jump right into the episode. And I hope that you bear with us and enjoy. It'll be a little bit of a shorter episode because of that, but still a really good time because this is a really fun episode. So I will now let you just listen to us recap the episode that we both watched.
All right, we are back from watching the Elysian Kingdom.
Elysian Kingdom. I was so confused. So Elizabeth.
Let's jump right in. First impressions of the episode.
First impression was, I love all of the clothing in the episode. It was very fun. It was colorful. I loved it. My second impression, or I guess my second thought, is there such a thing as a second impression? I don't think so. Is there?
Yes.
There probably is. I mean, if there's a first, there's got to be a second, right?
Well, I feel like there's an infinite amount of impressions. They just change. But in, like, society, the first impression is just, quote unquote, the most important.
I disagree. People are hella nervous when they first impress someone. That's not the word. When they make their first impression, most people are terrified and scared. And so I actually think first impressions are shit. That's my hot take already.
All right.
My second
impression was
my second impression was, yeah, the outfits are great. Because first impression doesn't matter. So my second impression is the outfits and clothing were wonderful. And then the other thing was, I was so confused. Like, again, I still barely know these characters, as we can tell when I was trying to guess who's actually in this series. But yeah, you know, it's hard keeping everybody, like, straight and, like, figuring out, like, okay, this person's this person. And then suddenly we transport them into a storybook, and suddenly I don't know who these people are in the storybooks, let alone who are the real characters are now being transformed into. I could not keep track. It was confusing. I could track, like, you know, Pike and... and Dr. Mbenga. Obviously I knew who he was, and I tracked, was Nurse Chapel? Yeah, she, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got transformed. Okay.
She was the, like, healer witch.
Fair warning to our viewers. We watched this about a week ago. So, and I've also had about 2 glasses of wine.
Good for you.
My brain is so powerful, but right now it's on, like, power save mode. So, and also just, like, trying to recall events is not always my forte. Yeah, I just remember being very confused at the beginning. Although I love the, okay, when he's telling the little story, when Dr. Mbenga is reading the story to his daughter at the beginning, it's so cute. I love it. It's a cute story. Yeah. And I was like, the story's going to come back. It's going to.
Well, yeah, when they establish anything a little out of the ordinary or just new, it's always the assumption, or should be the assumption, that it's probably going to come back in some way.
But yeah, I was like, I didn't know how it was going to play out, though. I'm just like, we'll see what happens here. So they're reading their little story. I don't know if that's how the episode starts. Basically,
I'm pretty sure it is.
Yeah, he says something to his daughter, which I actually don't know her or his daughter's name. Do we know his daughter's name?
Yeah. I don't know. Hold on. I know when they say it, I know what it sounds like, but I can't remember. Like, I don't know how to say it.
Okay.
Nukia? Hold on.
Yeah, let's do a little quick look up.
Just because I don't want to pronounce it totally off base. Strange New World. Mbenga daughter. Rukia.
Okay, cool. So he's telling Rukia, when you're older, you'll write your own stories. Or something like that. And it's so sweet. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, she's like dying, basically. Which is devastating.
Oh my god, yeah.
And then this other thing. Okay, I also was so confused about this force. What's also going on at the same time is that suddenly they're, I don't know if they were trying to warp or like what was really going on, but they hit some like force and they're, you know, Pike and I think Spock and I don't know who else is on the bridge at that point, but like they're all like, oh, it says everything's working, but like nothing's happening. What was happening
there? Yeah, I think they were, oh gosh, I didn't take notes during this episode because I'm a silly little guy who just forgot. They're studying the nebula.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, they're like, oh, it's nice to be not going anywhere and just like observing something like
Pike
that.
Pike is super cute. He's like, oh my god, I love not being in battle. This is so fun. Because they're all scientists. None of them wanted to be in war or anything.
Oh, so I didn't know that. I didn't know that background. What's the background?
Starfleet is more of a research-based, like, exploration kind of thing.
Wait, really?
Yeah, like, they have warships and stuff, but their whole goal is to just go on science missions and explore and diplomacy and, like, all that kind of stuff.
Wait!
Like, Captain Janeway is a scientist. Like, she is a, like, she was on, I've read the autobiography of Captain Catherine Janeway, and she started on the science track and just wanted to, like, explore. But when shit goes wrong, then you have to deal with it, so.
Okay.
You have to be trained, but.
I'm going to sound really stupid. I don't think I knew that.
That's okay.
I don't think I knew that all of Starfleet was, like, the intent was to be scientific expeditions.
Oh my god, yeah.
That's
why I love it so much. So
much more sense. Mm-hmm. I was like, why are they always complaining about getting into trouble if they're out there on basically what are warships in space?
Well, they want to do research.
Wait, that's like, oh my god. Wait, that makes me love them so much more because they're just scientists trying to deal with like angry people out here.
That's Janeway is a scientist. People forget that. She is a scientist first.
Wow.
Same with Picard. He's a freaking archaeologist who loves exploring.
He's an archaeologist?
I think it's more of a hobby, but still.
That's, oh my God, that's so sweet.
Like, they're explorers, you know?
These are like our anthropologists and our archaeologists and our linguists and our chemists and
engineers,
mathematicians, diplomats, and they're just all out here. Like, we just want to go see what's out there. And then here come the Romulans.
It's always the Romulans. Sorry,
not to blame the Romulans. We don't want to characterize a whole people. But it seems like the Romulans are just out here having beef with everyone.
I would have to agree with you.
I mean, am I wrong? Like,
I don't think so.
But again,
I don't think so at all.
I don't want to characterize all Romulans because I think there are good Romulans, right?
Elizabeth, I'm pretty sure we had this conversation in the intro.
Oh no, we definitely did. Well,
if we didn't, I'd be shocked, but no, there are good Romulans. Like, there's always, like, rebel groups of every major group of even humans. There's always people that don't agree.
And while we're making commentaries about larger groups in society,
yes,
let's not characterize entire groups or races or religious groups of people based on what some people see or what a certain subset it acts like. Like, let's just not be racist. I think that's, sorry. I don't know.
Why are you on this tirade?
I don't know. I just get so frustrated when people are like, oh, well, everyone's that way. Out, you know, and I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh, all the Romulans suck, which isn't necessarily true. It seems like a lot of them suck, but there are definitely some good Romulans. And I just hate that people characterize an entire group of people based on their few interactions with people from that group.
Yeah.
So my advice is, don't be racist. I don't know why we need to say that in 2024, but don't be racist.
Yeah.
Okay, back to the episode, though.
So they're just out there studying a nebula for fun.
Yeah, they're out there. Okay, and then they're basically, I think, I don't know if it's that they try and click some button or switch some switch or whatever. And they're like, oh, it's...
And nothing's happening. Yeah. They're like they might be just trying to leave, honestly.
Yeah, honestly, that's the part where I'm like, I don't know what the deal is, why it's so important. Because then suddenly, you...
Well, I think they were just trying to leave.
Okay, yeah. Because then suddenly the scene flips to over to Dr. Benga's perspective. And then suddenly we've got drapes. We've got his beautiful outfit, like clothing, robes, mm-hmm. like crown. I'm assuming it's meant to be crown. It's some sort of headpiece. And it's.
Yeah, because at the beginning of the episode, he was trying to find a cure. He was working real hard to find a cure. And then number one was like, get your ass to bed. I don't want you doing anything until you're able to do something.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
And so he left, and then that wave went through the entire ship, and everybody was like, whoa, what was that? and then he was in, because, yeah, he was in the turbo lift.
Uh-huh.
And then it took him to the bridge, even though he wanted to go to his quarters.
Yeah, and then suddenly he gets on the bridge, and everybody, I'm like, this is not the bridge. Everybody is in different clothing. Everybody is, oh, and then can we talk about Pike's
hair? Yes.
Oh my God, that is a crime, what they did to his hair.
It's so good, though, because it just fit that character so
well. Oh, yeah. Well. His character also sucked.
But was so funny, I just love that they took this, like, Captain Pike.
Yeah.
Who's such a good diplomatic, like, reasonable man, uh-huh. who is very, like, I'm gonna do the thing, I'm gonna work hard, I'm gonna, like...
help the people that I love.
Yeah. And then,
he's like running away from everything. He's like, don't involve me. I don't want to battle. Like, get me out of here. Can I just go back to the castle, please? I don't want to be here.
It's so funny. I'm like, oh God. Oh, and then, okay. So, okay.
And then you got
Spock, who's like a little shit in this story.
Oh yeah, he's bad. But then you've got Ortegas, who's like, I will fight for you.
Oh yeah, Ortegas.
Just constantly, which was so I loved Ortegas and Pike's like interactions with each other.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason why I showed you this episode is even though like it's so weird and they change everything,
uh-huh,
and none of the characters are the actual characters except for like Mbanga and Hammer.
Fucking Hammer.
I know you don't like Hammer.
His
creepy
little furry slimy face.
Don't be mean to Hammer. I like him.
I know you do. And apparently a bunch of other people do too.
I actually don't. I don't know what the consensus is on Hammer.
I thought you said other people liked him. Do other people like him?
I have no idea.
Chime off in the... Well, we don't have comments. Or I don't know. Or write us. Instagram us. Tell us if you like Hammer.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty curious. I don't know how people feel about Hammer.
We'd love to know the general consensus. Or at least some of the consensus. Some consensus.
But I just... I thought it would be really fun to show you an episode where they are all kooky. They are so kooky.
It's so, so extra.
It's so interesting because some of them are pretty similar to their characters.
Yeah.
And then some of them are like complete opposite of their characters. Like Pike.
Yeah.
He's so different from his character. Spock. So different from his character. Uhura.
I would argue in some, not that Spock, his real personality is like traitorous or is that the word?
Treacherous? Traitor.
He's not a traitor kind of guy. But I would argue that his, even in the storybook character, he's still very like mathematical and like logical.
Yeah.
Even though he's being kind of a shit, like it's still him.
Well, no, I would say that with like a lot of the characters.
Yeah, that's true.
But like, I just mean like Spock would never actually do that. He would never
that
like
is true.
He can't. He's a Vulcan. They don't lie really.
That's true. I forgot about that.
But then like Uhura is the fucking evil queen.
Is that who it is? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
that was a her.
Yeah. Like I said, I still cannot keep track of all of the characters. And so I was sitting there. I remember sitting there throughout the episode being like, who the fuck is the evil queen? Who is this character? And then I was also in my head, I was like, where's Uhura? And for whatever reason, I could not connect the two. Because I don't think we've even watched that many episodes of this series.
Only one or two.
So yeah, I don't know. For whatever reason, it wasn't in my head making sense.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why. But
that's
like,
so funny.
Cause like, I don't know. I think it was just like Spock and like Pike have very distinctive looks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, I can't confuse them. And then even Nurse Chapel too, and obviously Dr. Mbanga, I don't know, for some reason, because also I don't even know, I don't know, I wish I could explain why I couldn't clock that was Uhura.
Do you remember who number one was? Una?
No, who was it? Was that the one of
She was the Huntress.
That's okay. Okay. That
she was the Huntress.
Like I said, this was an incredibly chaotic episode for me mentally.
Oh my God, yeah. No, and I did that on purpose. My bad.
No, it was fun though.
But it's such a fun one. Oh, and La'an was the freaking princess.
I know, I forgot about La'an. Oh, yeah, God, this whole... was such a, like, it was so crazy to keep track of.
And so, like I said, like, so many of the characters are kind of, like, similar, like, Hammer was a wizard. Engineering can be seen as wizardry.
Yeah.
Nurse Chapel was, like, an apothecary.
Yeah.
Like, witch.
Wait, can we talk about how cute she looked in, like, whatever the clothing she
put? Want that outfit. Yeah. I want that outfit. I want that outfit.
It was very cottagey. It was really cute.
I want that outfit. So bad. Like, look at, I mean, you guys can't see, but look at my background.
I know. You're in, like, your cottagecore era.
I've been in it for a while.
You have been in it for a while.
Well, I was like that during COVID.
Oh, that's, yeah. Like, I do remember that.
But then some stuff happened to me personally.
We COVID was a unique time for all people.
I just recently decided to accept myself as who I am.
We're all for that. Accept yourself as who you are. We want everybody to do that.
Truly. But so I loved Nurse Chapel's outfit so much. And then the Huntress. Oh. And the Huntress is so similar because, like, first officers are there to be loyal to whoever. And in her case, it's the Forest. But
yeah,
that's, like, pretty cool. And, like, Ortegas is, like, a war hero. And, like,
I feel like that just tracks with Ortegas's personality.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just, like.
Let's see.
So good.
And then who else? Okay, I'm trying to think who else. I think that's, I mean, that's mostly everyone.
I posted it today. I posted, like, a little thing of, like, all the characters and what they were. So, like, Mabanga's the king, which is obviously because, I mean, we find out that it's, like, fueled by his daughter and not him. And so, of course, her dad would be the king.
Yeah, which is so sweet.
I know. It is really cute. We've got La'an, who's the fucking princess with the dog.
Yeah.
We've got Hemmer, who's the wizard. Nurse Chapel, who's the doctor or the apothecary. Oh, God. I'm looking at pictures right now, and I want that outfit so bad. We've got Ortegas, who's, like, the, like, guard person, Una, who's the hunter, Uhura, who's the evil queen, Pike, who's that guy.
Which makes me, now I have a thought, though, because if this is through the perspective of Rukia, that's what it is. Okay, so do you think this is how she actually perceives all of these characters? Maybe this is getting, like, a little too deep.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, I think...
And, like, who has she actually interacted with on the ship besides...
Nobody.
Besides her father.
Nobody. I don't even think she's interacted with Una. I think there's another episode that you haven't seen where she, like, meets this little boy who comes on the ship for a while.
Okay.
But... Yeah, nobody. So what I think it is that the nebula, like, the entity in the nebula, who later is named Deborah?
Jesus, good old Deb.
Like, we learn that, so I think because that wave comes through and, like, takes over everybody, it's just transferring the roles.
I see.
Okay. Onto people, but since,
But since her dad, like, Dr. Mbenga, has to be, like, he's, like, sentient. He knows what's happening.
He does. And he's central to the story.
So that
Like, the king is the central to the story. And her dad is central to her life.
Mm.
So I think the nebula, like the entity
that
knew and, like, placed the king role on her dad intentionally.
Yeah. But... Yeah, and so, like, it's just, like, they're going around doing... I was just so confused about all of the different things happening, and they were going to all these places and, like, moving around on the ship, and then you got the forest, you got the kingdom and the castle, and...
It was kind of cool, though. Like, the forest was kind of just, like, the hallways.
I actually love how they transformed the ship. It gave me, like, community theater vibes.
Yeah, but with a bigger budget.
Yeah, no, like, a really good community theater. not good, just like you said, bigger budget. But
yeah.
Yeah, no, it was actually really cute. It gave me that kind of quality of like, you know, when you're a kid and you kind of like, you have your like costumes that you dress up in, but you still have to like imagine the world around you. Mm-hmm. It really gave me that kind of vibe. And I'm sure that's what they were going for, but it was really like nostalgic in an odd way.
Yeah.
And I was just like, oh, this is cute. Like, it's confusing as shit, but it's cute.
It is. And it's like, well, I was the one of the reasons why I showed you this is like, okay, let's forget about the characters. Mm-hmm. Were you able to just track the fairy tale story that was happening and just dive into that instead?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, kind of, yeah. Like, Okay, I'm still trying to remember the motivations of everyone, but the basic understanding was like, you have the king, there's this jewel, or is that what they call it? The
moonstone?
Something. It's some, I'll look it yeah, up. It's you some, like, gem, jewel, stone, has powers, and the, I forget her name, but, like, the evil queen, basically, doesn't she, like, want it for herself?
The Mercury Stone.
Mercury Stone, that's what it is. And I think the evil queen wants it for herself or something?
Yeah, she wants it so that she can have power to take over Mbanga's kingdom.
Yeah. And he basically has to make a choice between keeping the Mercury Stone and saving... I forget exactly the way it's couched in the story. I can't remember exactly how it's framed. Like.
Yeah, it's like.
But he has to basically like choose. It's like choosing between like some a self more selfish choice and like the greater good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly right now either. I've only seen this episode one other time.
But. And so I mean, even before everybody was kind of transformed by the nebula, like, I was like, this is gonna, that's his daughter. The stone, the Mercury Stone is his daughter, which, like, obviously.
Yeah, like, when he's reading the story and he's, like, describing the choice, it's kind of, like, already setting up that's what he has to do because it's, like, not that he's being selfish for keeping her in the transporter.
Not at all.
He's trying to save her, but at this point, it's so futile.
Yeah.
And her time is just dwindling. So it's like, does he let her go or keep her?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, and so like within the story, like when everybody, once everybody gets transformed into the story, yeah, it's just, it's interesting because, like, I don't know if he realizes as he's reading it that it applies to him. Because, like, I feel like he does to an extent. Like, when he's reading the story to Rukia, like, I feel like there's a level of, like, oh, this is kind of what I'm going to have to do. But then he actually gets placed in the story. And I think he, like, knows even, I don't know. I think there's technically a point where he's like, oh, Rukia is the Mercury Stone. Like, but I feel like he knows before then, you know? Like, I don't know. I could be wrong. But I feel like there's a level of, like, you can tell he's conflicted, like, early on. And even, I think one of the episodes that we watched also kind of had a subplot of, like, this kind of conflict going on with him and his daughter. And...
Yeah, they touch on it in Ghost of Illyria.
Yeah.
Because that's, like, the reason why the transporter didn't get rid of the thing that they brought on from the planet.
Yeah.
Is because...
it was taking power, like, to...
Yeah, there was, like, something interfering because of Rukia being in the buffer.
Mm-hmm. So it's like you
can... So they kind of touch on it already, yeah, that he's sacrificed the greater good for his daughter.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, seeing him go through and then finally realize it, and oh my god, like, the moment at the end where... He has to, like, the nebula basically is like, hey, you know, I have the ability to, I don't know if it's that the nebula has, I didn't quite understand this, that it has the ability to, like, heal his daughter, but she'll have to, like, be absorbed into the nebula or something like
that. Yeah, I think it's kind of like,
like a symbiotic kind of relationship.
Almost, or I don't even know how to describe it fully, but it's kind of like when you, like, I can't think of any, like, real world examples, but it's like when you're there, you're better, and once you leave, you get sick, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So in order to be healed, you have to stay around
that, yeah,
that thing. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's but like that would require, again, that's then that requires Dr. Mavenga to like not be around his daughter, like, yeah. And so, yeah, like realizing that he's like making this choice, like, okay, like obviously I want my daughter to have a full life. I want her to be able to, you know, write her own stories. Mm-hmm. But I may not be able to read those stories.
Mm.
Which is like so sad. He's like, yeah, I would rather my daughter be able to write stories that I can't read than not allow her to write stories at all.
Which is honestly like the biggest sacrifice,
yeah,
a parent could make, is like fully letting go their child knowing that they'll never see them again in order to give them a better life. I feel like,
yeah,
media tackles that all the time, of just like selfishness versus selflessness.
Yeah, yeah.
And like loving someone so much that you're willing to let them go and live their own life.
Yeah. And like, I mean, that's the thing, is like, I don't even know if, I mean, even when he's like keeping her in the transporter and like trying to like kind of suspend time so he can take care of her, it's like, I don't even know if I see that as like a, like, I still empathize, and I, there's like a level of like, I totally get it, dude. Like, I get what you're trying to do, but it's like, yeah, it gets to that kind of breaking point where it seems like, I know we watch things out of order, but it seems like enough things have happened where he's realizing this isn't sustainable. Like, he can't do this forever. And then, like you said, like, he hasn't found a cure, like, nothing's really working.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, he finally gets to this point where he's like, okay, like, what kind of a life is this for my daughter? You know?
Exactly.
And, yeah, so I don't know. And then, okay. And it made me feel so much better when, like, 10 seconds later, not even like 5 seconds later,
so fast,
she suddenly, Rukia suddenly comes back, and she's like grown up, and she's like, oh, thanks, Dad, like, I'm out there writing my stories. And I'm just like, oh my god, I'm sobbing.
Like, you know, it's so, so, so sweet, right?
Yeah, it really, it's like, okay, he did what he had to do, and he still, I mean, okay, maybe he doesn't get to see her that often, but like, he knows where he can find her, you know, he knows he can go back to that nebula area or whatever, like, but like, you know, but that she's okay. And that, he, you know, he's able to get some sort of reassurance, like, hey, like, you know what, she's writing her stories, and
yeah,
not in pain. And, you know,
oh, it's so heartbreaking. God.
Oh, gosh. But on a lighter, oh, and then how does it end again? How does it, like, after that?
It ends literally with, like, everybody's back to normal. Like, they are able to leave. And once Deborah takes Rukia with them, I don't know the gender of this thing. Maybe it is. I wasn't
paying attention. A group of Deborahs?
I don't even know. When the entity takes
Rukia
away, they're finally able to leave the nebula and everything goes back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
But so it's basically, the episode is only like 5 hours of time.
Yeah.
Lapses. And to everyone on the crew, they just lost 5 hours of memory and time.
Yeah.
Or like there's no security surveillance for those hours or anything. And the only two people that remember, I think, oh, I don't even know. Oh, God.
Mavenga remembers. I think Hemmer remembers.
Does Hemmer remember? Okay.
I don't know. I think so.
Well,
but I just,
Mavenga definitely remembers. And so,
but also,
Una comes in.
Doesn't Hemmer do something that, like fixes something, or he, like, does some sort of magic?
He just, Oh my god. Yeah, that's in the dungeon, I guess, the brig. Oh, but it's not even
that's what it was. Yeah, they put him in like they lock him up in the Evil Queen's like dungeon.
Yeah, and he gets a like it's literally like a I don't Oh god. Guys, it's been a week. I apologize.
But it was so weird.
It's not a phaser. It's like a little screwdrivery thing and he like lasers it, but in order to not freak them out, he does a little magic thing. I think it's so cute. You just think it's weird because you don't like Hemmer.
I don't like Hemmer. He gives me the creeps. I don't like him.
It's so funny and cute. He's like abracadabra.
Oh yeah, that was funny, but I don't like Hemmer.
I know you don't.
But
anyway.
But yeah, they get out and I think it's just
at the end, yeah, everything at the end of the episode everything turns back to normal and Una comes in and is like, "Hey buddy, Rukin is gone. I'm really sorry about that." And he's like, "Thanks." And she's like, "I wonder what happened." And he's like, "Well," and she's like, "Oh, you know what happened." And then he starts to tell her the story of what happened.
Oh, that's like, what it is.
He literally is like, "Well, it starts as all great stories do, once upon a time." Mm. And it's like really cute, but then it like zooms out and you see Rukia's chair that she used to sit in when she wasn't in the buffer, and it's like really sad.
Yeah.
But it also happy, like bittersweet.
Yeah, it is. It's a very bittersweet ending. But yeah, no, I mean, I loved the episode. I just was like so confused most of the time. But I'm like,
which is so fair.
I'm like, I'm here for the outfits and the costumes and the clothing. I'm here for the little cute fairy tale story.
And the acting.
Oh, yeah.
Like, come on. One thing that I love about this episode and have since the first time I saw it is that it showcases the freaking talent of these actors to transform.
Yeah.
Because, like, those were fully developed, physicalized characters. Like, the physicality of these characters is different than the characters, the original characters, which is different than the actors. Like,
I love actor inception. Like, when you have
La'an turning into Princess Talia, come on.
Yeah.
Pike. Anson Mount turning into that guy. I mean, come on.
Oh, gosh. I always love shows, movies, whatever it is, where you have to have, like, you have an actor playing a character who then is playing a character. Like, I think that takes such incredible skill that whenever it happens in, like I said, show, TV, whatever, like, I live for it. I think it's the...
I think it
takes so much technical skill.
No, I love when actors are playing a character who's playing somebody else.
Yeah.
But I think this is special in that it's not like the characters were playing.
That's
the characters... It's straight up different characters.
That is true.
Yeah. Which is also crazy because they were all so well-developed characters, which is like why I'm in acting school, because I want to do that. And like right now it takes me so long to like develop a character and like I have all these tools and I'm like, what's happening?
I feel like it's like a lifelong process. I feel like
You
know? Yeah.
I mean, some of these actors have been doing it forever.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're still learning new things.
Oh my god, yeah, because you never stop learning as an actor. As a human.
As a human, I was going to say. And if you did stop learning, you gotta maybe look around and challenge yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the school that I go to, the, like, motto is growth as an actor and growth as a human being are synonymous. So like if you want to keep getting better then you have to keep learning, which I feel like that's with a lot of just be better humans, you know.
Back to our original call to action: don't be racist, be a better human.
Yes, always. but
yeah, no, it was super fun. It was a cute episode. I enjoyed it. I'm glad that there's some level of like closure with Rukia and Mbanga. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm glad that even though it okay, maybe it's not necessarily the perfect like result that he would have wanted. Like it's still, it was like transformative for him. And she's able to, yeah, write her stories, you know?
Yeah, it's, it, like, honestly, it's such a cute episode. I mean, I love it because it's just so wacky and out of the norm.
Oh, yeah. It's
and different. I just personally love an episode where the ship itself gets transformed.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know if we talked about that. It was just, it was really, really fun. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Like all the oh my god, we can't not talk about this. The part where the Huntress and so Una and Ortegas in the fairy tale were like had definitely been dating.
Wait, you're gonna have
Did you catch that?
No, you're gonna have to repeat that. It like cut out right as you said, we can't not talk about the part where Una and Ortegas.
Oh, no. Okay. Can you hear me now, though?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Where Una and Ortegas' characters in the fairy tale were definitely, like, former lovers
or something. Yes. There was a romantic thing there.
Well, because they literally even had, like, the fairy tale equivalent of you never called me back.
Yeah.
Like...
forgot about that little undercurrent. Yeah, that was funny. That was cute.
Like, how hard is it to send an owl? Like literally. And like Mbanga, that's when Mbanga started to realize that his daughter was in charge.
Yeah.
Because her daughter always wanted those two characters to be in love.
Oh, in the story.
In the story. And that's when he was like, wait a second, y'all have never met each other before. And they were actually like, no, we know each other quite well. And I was like,
ooh. Oh,
I was like, oh. Well, they know each other biblically.
Know each other biblically. Like, oh, gosh. That's one of my favorites.
I just love on it. Like, I know that a lot of people, and I understand this, hate queer baiting and like giving queer side stories and not main stories. I get it. I am also like this. I'm a raging lesbian. I want more lesbian content in my life. However, even just the little quirky side notes, I eat them up like nobody's business. I don't even care. I'm aware of it. I don't care. I love it. I live for that shit.
But also, like, I don't know. I also feel like in some ways, again, totally with you. Like, yeah, make queer stories the main story. But also, like, I don't know. I like that there's hints because I feel like it normalizes it for people that maybe don't see it as normal, which, like, it totally is. I don't know. That's also... Well,
because it's becoming more of a, it's not a big thing anymore.
Yeah.
Like... not in all media and not in all cultures and places, but like I like when there's just like a little sprinkling of like, oh yeah, these two people dated each other and the storyline isn't about them dating each other because they're women.
Yeah.
It's about them having dated each other because those two characters in the original book had never met and so now we're wondering why they know each other.
Yes. Yes.
And like the same with like that in Spock Amok when Nurse Chapel is like talking about having dated a woman from a different planet. Like it's just nice for the sprinklings because it does kind of normalize it, I feel like.
Yeah. But yeah, also agree with like, yeah, like also like have the main story be queer stories.
Oh yeah. We can have multiple thoughts. Don't worry. Yeah.
But
we're multifaceted humans.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was a very fun episode.
Yay. I'm really glad you liked it because as I was watching it, I was like, Elizabeth's going to be so confused. Like, I was so aware of it.
I mean, I was confused, but I did also enjoy it.
Well, because it's kind of just fun.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's one of those episodes that you don't super need to know the characters' background stories.
Yeah.
You just need to know the bit about Mbanga having a daughter in the transporter buffer because she's sick. And they set that all up really well.
Yeah.
And then... like, you can then go from there with the knowledge that everybody's different, but it can be just a fairy tale.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Just super fun. So who, pray tell, was your favorite character?
Deborah. No, I'm kidding. Deborah's not my favorite.
Don't you dare use Deborah. I won't allow it.
Deborah. No, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. This might be the obvious choice. Just like, I love Mbenga. Like, I loved him in the other episode that we watched. And
I
get it. He's a star kind of him and Rukia both are like the star of this episode. But I do. I just love him. I think he's a good father. I think he's a wonderful character. He's a good doctor, good person. Like, I just like him. He gives me wholesome energy.
He does have wholesome energy. You're so right.
Yeah. And like, come on, those robes, that crown.
The fashion in this episode is impeccable.
It really is.
And I think I just posted the thing, our post, like our announcement post.
Uh-huh.
And somebody on Instagram, I think it was Socialists in Space.
What a great, like, great name, right? By the way.
That account reposted it, and the admin of that account said that they went to Mission Chicago, which is like a Star Trek convention in Chicago, and that they saw all of the costumes in person, and that they were absolutely crazy and incredible and so detailed, and that they just wished that the episode wasn't as dark as it was in lighting, because you couldn't see as much of the detail. But I just love that I should cosplay as Nurse Chapel to my next con.
You should. Nurse Chapel in this episode. Yes.
No, Yeah, that's what I mean. Oh, okay.
You gotta do it.
We're doing that. It's official. Okay. I've decided. Done and done.
It's perfect. I love it.
Heard it here first, folks. But I'm really poor right now, so maybe not this convention, but maybe next year.
Being an actor in New York City is expensive.
Very. But yay, so I'm so glad that you enjoyed this episode, because I love it, and there's so much more, and I could go on, honestly, for a while about this episode, because I think it's so fun.
Mm-hmm.
But it is late here on the East Coast, and I'm gonna go to bed. Check us out.
You can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica. Oh, no, you can find us on Instagram at Brides of Chaotica Pod, not just Brides of Chaotica. And if you want to email us for whatever reason, you can email us at bridesofchaotica@gmail.com.
Tune in next week to Brides of Chaotica to find out which episode I'm going to force Elizabeth to watch next.
Bye.
All right.
Somehow I feel comfortable here.
We get a Starbucks mug from the place that we go to, which I'm like,
oh, nice.
I guess like hail our, capitalist overlords, I guess. But like,